100 albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
Well, the rain explodes. All right, welcome back, everybody. And there you go. Esmeralda, you've been a part of this one time, right?
Yes.
You did it over the phone.
Yes, and I was amazed that he didn't know it was a Beatles album, early Beatles album.
Was it Meet the Beatles?
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Because he hadn't heard them or he didn't know.
Yeah. Well, he's learning and buying records and all kinds of cool stuff. All right, Vic, which ones are we talking about now?
This week, number 18, Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen. I love this album. I hadn't heard it. I hadn't listened to it before. This is his third studio album. He was in just a little bit about the album before we started. It took him about a year, a little more than a year. He was in the studio from mid-1974. This is the time frame we're talking about, to mid-1975. I learned that he did all the work at Sound Studios, which is a north suburb of New York City, and the Record Plant, which was a famous one in New York City. I read a little bit about the Record Plant, and notable work came out of there. Famous place. But Born to Run was released later that same year in 75. But this is Springsteen's, from what I read. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, what you guys think, but his mainstream breakthrough album, pretty much?
I'd say so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a breakthrough record for sure. But I mean, the big breakthrough album for Springsteen was Born in the USA. That was that's the one that put him in the stratosphere. But mm-hmm. Born to Run was the first album that made at least a real buzz, especially on FM radio.
Yeah, and from what I read, a lot of critics say this is one of the best rock and roll albums ever recorded. That I read a lot of. That seems to be what most critics think about this as far as Bruce Springsteen's work. And he's spoken openly about the creative process behind this album. I read quite a little bit about what he thought about the work that they put into it. And he says it nearly brought him and the E Street Band to the brink of destruction as musicians. So it was a lot of work for them to get through this creative process and get it done. It wasn't a pleasant process, according to Springsteen. It nearly wrecked them. But so knowing that going into it, listening to it, straight through from track one to track eight, that there was a lot of anticipation. It's only 39 minutes long, the entire album. But it, for me, did not disappoint. Tom's got a little bit of the lead-off track, Thunder Road. Now, you guys know the story behind Thunder Road and why Bruce Springsteen wrote it?
No.
He says that he was, I can't remember the theater now, but he was in a movie theater and he saw the movie poster for the movie called Thunder Road with Robert Mitchum.
Mm-hmm.
And, I looked it up, the poster, and he's got he looks cool. He's got his hair slicked back and he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and there's a real cool car behind him. And apparently Springsteen was not going to see that movie. He never saw the movie, he claims, but he said the movie poster, inspired him to write that song and do that song. Next song I wanted to bring up, track five, Born to Run. A lot of critics say this one made This is what I've read, that a lot of critics said Born to Run, this particular track, kind of made Springsteen a household name, and I think Tom's got some of that one as well. Yeah, so Springsteen said that, this was Born to Run, the album, the whole album, was his last attempt at becoming a successful musician. He said it was about, at least in part, getting out of Freehold, which is where he grew up. It's a borough in Monmouth County, New Jersey. And, you know, Springsteen talks about his dad. He was a bus driver, but mostly unemployed through his life. And he says his mom was the one who held the family together and, you know, kind of mostly supported the family. And so this song, Born to Run, was a hugely successful song for Springsteen, from what I read. And you know, also a very important one to this album based on, you know, that song's kind of about, according to Springsteen, about getting out of Freehold and, you know, becoming something. Track six, She's the One. It's about basically a beautiful woman who, I guess, men can't seem to attract. Cold-hearted, some might call it. The woman. So I read Springsteen and the E Street Band. They play it a lot on their live shows, apparently. I've never seen them live, but that's what I read about. And it has a really unique, pretty opening, and then this kind of driving beat or sound to it. But I wanted to see if Tom could play the bridge. You got some of that, Tom? She's the one. That was my favorite, or probably my favorite on this album. I know you're now. Are you a fan? You're not a big fan of his, are you, Nick?
I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not a Springsteen fan.
I'm curious, Tom, Esmeralda. Have you listened to this album?
No.
I like this album more than most of them. I think this is a really emblematic album for Springsteen. I'm not a Born in the USA person. I think there's some tracks on there that are good, but personally I like this, and I like another one he did called Nebraska, which is really stripped down, and it's mostly acoustic, and comes
and
a little
very depressing.
Yeah, very depressing. I love depression.
Me too, yeah.
Born to Run is an album pretty much, if someone's just like, oh, I've never listened to Bruce Springsteen, where do I start?
Yeah.
It's pretty much this. Even though Born in the USA might be more popular and was an astronomical hit, and everybody knows, you know, so many songs off of that, even if they don't know it's Springsteen. But if you want to get to the core of generally who Springsteen is and what he's writing about, this album is pretty much square one.
And did we, that's what I kind of figured, and did we Born in the USA, didn't we, on this show, Nick? Does that ring a bell with you or no? I thought it was on the top 100.
Yeah, we may have done that a little bit earlier.
I know we did another Springsteen.
That's got to be one then. So, yeah. And that's, like Tom said, I mean, and it makes sense if that was one of the more popular ones, but that's the one that I had listened to, and there were some songs on there that I didn't even know. But this one, I do prefer over the, I really like this album. And I think I was telling Tom, maybe someone else, I think it was Tom and I discussing it, but to me it had like a blue-collar, gritty-type feel to it, and it was fun to have that conversation with Tom because he was explaining to me that's not necessarily the background that he himself came from, right, Tom?
Well, yeah, I mean, he is more or less positioned himself as a blue collar hero, especially his stage persona and like what he's writing about and stuff. I don't know too much about his upbringing, but he just became a symbol for that particular listener. So that's why I think he's so popular with so many people.
Yeah, we'll close it out with Meeting Across the River. This one really caught me off guard. I don't know if you've ever heard this one, but it's very, to me, it sounded very different from the other songs on the album. And it starts with this striking like trumpet solo. Brecker is his name, the guy who plays the trumpet in the opening of this song, but here's a part from a little more than halfway through. Tom?
Remember, just don't smile, change the show, it's tonight we got style.
I think it's a very cool song. It's you know, it's very instrumental in parts, but it's weird too. It's a story about two guys who are friends who they're going to do something. It doesn't really they have to meet this guy across this river to go do something. It sounds like they're going to commit a crime, but it doesn't exactly address that in the song. But whatever it is they're about to go and do, if they fail at this task that they have to go do, then it's all over for them. So it's like a make or break, do or die situation, which kind of reminded me of this entire album for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in their own description of it. So yeah, I love this album though. I really like it.
Okay. That's Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen. And yeah, I mean, I guess it's considered the quintessential Bruce Springsteen album, studio wise, but it was, the record that sold the most might not have been, you know, and a lot of Springsteen fans don't think Born in the USA is his best album, but it was certainly the best selling album. Like, yeah. I mean, that blew up in the summer of 1984. Mm. You couldn't get away from it.
So, and this would be the top, as far as the Rolling Stone magazine's list, this would be his highest showing, I believe.
Yeah. I would imagine that it would be. Yeah, this is the, like Tom said, if you're starting out, you know, you want Bruce Springsteen 101, you go to Born to Run.
Born to Run.
Yeah. All right, cool. We've got another album that we're going to be talking about here, and we're going to break here for some weather. And then when we come back, Vic is going to tell us about his next album that he listened to. As he goes, he makes his way through the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. So, all right, why don't we take a break here? When we come back, I'll give you the weather. That's right here on 720 WGN. Kurt Cobain said, "We knew we made it when we were covered when Weird Al did one of our songs."
Yeah, what number is Weird Al's?
Yeah, the next album is Weird Al. Yeah. By the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Let me give you the weather really quickly. Today, high in the mid-70s, cooler near the lake, cool overnight with low humidity. It's going to be a really nice weekend. Sunny and pleasant on Saturday with comfortable humidity, high in the upper 70s. A few clouds overnight, down in the 60s for the overnight. Sunday, sunny in the morning and increasing clouds in the afternoon. Seasonable temperatures near 80. And Monday, mostly cloudy, warm, and humid. Chance for early morning thunderstorms and a high in the mid-80s. And then for Tuesday, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms and showers in the afternoon, high in the mid-80s. Currently 61 at O'Hare, at 69 at Midway, and 69 at the lakefront. Okay, Nick DiGilio here. We're back. Esmeralda's here, Tom is here, and Vic's Picks. What's next,
Vic? Yes, sir. Number 17, Nevermind by Nirvana. Yeah. And this is a band that I was not very familiar with. I didn't listen to them when they came out. It was right when I was leaving the country. I was pretty young, leaving the country, and I didn't come back for almost 4 years. And it was back when, you know, we didn't have social media. I didn't have a computer over there or access to internet very often. So I just didn't really get into Nirvana.
So when you left and when you came back, Kurt Cobain was already dead.
Yeah, his music was still huge, but I just kind of missed the boat on Nirvana and so many other bands. But obviously, this is their second studio album, grunge band with founder and frontman Kurt Cobain from Washington State. Dave Grohl with the Foo Fighters now joins the band on drums for the first time in this album. But they spent more than a year as well in studio on Nevermind, this album, from April 1990 to May 91, and it was released 4 months later in September by DGC Records. Massive album for Nirvana. Here Smells Like Teen Spirit, Tommy. For the record, Nick, your producer does not like to be called Tommy. I've just been reprimanded off the air. I don't know where that came from.
Well, okay, you know what?
Called him Tommy.
I share that with him because I hate being called Nicky.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Tommy and Nicky, yeah. Overnight.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess that song, pretty much, grunge was born, right? I mean, isn't that basically the song that did it?
You know, if you weren't around when this record came out, it was revolutionary.
Yeah.
It changed everything. And the grunge movement began. the swing towards alternative music would last many years into the 90s. This was a game-changing record. The fact that Nirvana became so commercially successful, nobody expected it. I knew the album Bleach. I knew Nirvana, you know, before this record came out. Mm-hmm. And when it just went, I remember I was walking down the street in the fall of 91. And as I was walking, down Clark. Mm-hmm. And as I'm walking down Clark, I hear a car go by that's blasting Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I'm not exaggerating this. And I walked past two separate houses.
Wow.
With their windows open, blasting Smells Like Teen Spirit. This was all during one walk.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like it's a similar story of a friend who he heard Nirvana and said that he was playing football. He quit playing football and picked up a guitar.
No, wow. It did that too. No. That's the kind of thing that this album did. It changed things. It is truly a game changer. Never mind.
Now, I read something that's, you know, in researching grunge, you know, what's grunge in it? And one of the things that I kind of gathered from a couple different places that I read was that it's kind of a mixture of punk and rock and roll. Would you guys agree with that?
More metal.
To me, if grunge or that type of music is if you take Neil Young and Black Sabbath and put it in a blender.
Whoa.
That's grunge.
Really? Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Both in like musical style and also it was also a sort of a fashion as well.
It was.
And also the Neil Young side of it.
But Neil Young and Black Sabbath, by the way, almost every band that came out of Seattle or came out of that era cites those two artists as two of the major influences on what they were writing at the time.
Hmm. Well, I can say this, when I was listening to this album, I started, you know, the first three tracks, we should play one. Let's go to the next song, track two, In Bloom, Tom. A lot of people probably sang along to that one without knowing what it was about. If Cobain was right, that's kind of what he wrote it about. But I started to really like the first three tracks. Let's play the next one too, and then I'll say what I was about to say, because it's called it's track three, Come As You Are, Tom.
This is my favorite, by the way. As you are, as you were, as I want you to be, as a friend, as a friend, as I.
Now, is this your favorite album by Nirvana, Nick?
No.
Okay, which one?
In Utero.
Right, In Utero,
hell
okay.
Yeah.
In Utero came out
you told me that.
A couple years after, and I think it is superior in every way.
Okay,
that's my favorite.
That
that's my favorite song off
that's
of this record.
That's your favorite song.
Off of this record. But my favorite song by Nirvana is called Penny Royalty, which is on In Utero.
All right.
Which is a phenomenal, I mean, I think it's an incredible song on an incredible album.
Yeah,
Nevermind. I love Nevermind. I think Nevermind is a great
record. I do too.
Yeah.
And I love Nirvana now. I didn't really listen to them, but when I got to track four, it blew my mind and I fell in love with Nirvana. I want to listen to a lot more of their stuff, but this track four, I hope Tom has a cut of this one. It's called Breed. I had never heard that song. Let me just say that I listened to it probably a half dozen times back to back, and there was a lot of headbanging going on my part.
Well,
and
I was going to say that's the hardest song on the record.
Man,
too.
I loved it, and I understood for the first time why anybody would enter a mosh pit.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they do that anymore. I never
did.
But they do? I want to go now. That I'm not joking. That song blew my mind. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. How much flannel do you now own?
None. I need to go get some flannel. Next, so this weekend, I'm going to go to Wicker Park, buy some records. I'll pick up some flannel, too. Maybe some Doc Martens. Is that a good look?
You know, I was back at that time period, I was full on long hair, flannel, Docs.
Cut-off blue jeans.
I had the whole thing, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? And I always wondered I do remember this. I remember wondering, how can he sing like that without injuring his vocal cords? And I read that he did injure his vocal cords Yeah, it was. It was on this song. He blew his voice out four times. They had to do four separate recording sessions because he kept blowing his voice out.
Yeah.
But, well, anyway, that's why I'm doing this project is to, run into old bands like that. I mean, I never knew I would like or be into Nirvana, but I absolutely am now.
Yeah, well, it was a huge band, and when the record became as big as it did, and this was not what Kurt Cobain wanted. He didn't want this superstardom. He didn't want it. He never really wanted it, which is one of the reasons why he ended up killing himself.
Mm.
So it's a sad story, but they left behind some great music, and I can't recommend In Utero highly enough. If you like Nevermind, Vic, you got to listen to In Utero.
All over it.
It is a great record.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
There you go. Vic's going to continue doing that and listening to music, and we'll talk about it again next week at 3:30.